Welcome to the Inspired to Be Authentic podcast, a podcast where we converse with people who are living their most authentic lives. We get real with our guests and talk openly about how they live with courage to be themselves. We explore barriers they have overcome to be more authentic and aligned to themselves and their purpose. I am your host, Matt Lancidal. I am a transformative life coach, empathic healer, and spiritual teacher. I specialize in teaching people how to heal shame and trauma and embody their authentic self so they can enjoy more meaningful connections in their lives. My areas of expertise are working with highly sensitive people, empaths, and gay men to develop a stronger sense of self-worth. This is episode 37, and we are talking about embodying your wild spirit. And I am very excited to introduce Kat DiPietro, Kat Renee, to the show. Welcome, Kat.
Yeah, I have two heads. I have an architecture head, and then I have a soul head. So that's why it's wild, because I'm a two-headed person here.
Yeah, yes. Beautiful. So yeah, basically we're going to be diving into a bunch of really yummy stuff today regarding the soul and the heart and the mind and embodiment. And we're going to be tapping into Kat's wisdom around all of these things. So Kat's going to start off by sharing a little bit about her story with us. And then we're going to be talking about what is embodiment? What does it mean to be embodied? What is the wild spirit? And how you can bring your soul into your work and into your life. And then we're Kat's going to teach us about the three C's of connection. So we have a really great episode planned for you guys today. Just so you know, the Inspired to Be Authentic podcast and YouTube channel is listener and viewer supported. If you're enjoying the content, you can support me by heading over to my Patreon page in the show notes to support the show. It helps me to continue to make inspirational content for you to consume. All right. So I want to give a formal introduction to Kat. So Kat is a soul activation guide for professionals. Through her embodied guidance, Kat invites her clients and colleagues to witness their genuine connected presence and regenerates life and love. She believes that your personal power is opened directly by coming home to yourself and what works for you. Kat founded Open Soul, helping professionals enliven their soul at work. Kat lives with her husband and three-year-old twins in Denver, Colorado. All right.
Hey. Hey. So I usually start with music, but because we can't do music, I would appreciate if you stand up with me and then we'll have those listening stand up.
Oh, okay.
And when you stand up, just give your little twinkle fingers, twinkle toes. Yeah, twinkle your hips, move your hips around. There you go. All right. And as you feel into your body, I'd like you to give a big, whatever wild sound is coming out today. Okay. And look outside or look at something in your room that brings you a little bit of, I haven't looked at that way in a while. What is that? Is it a tree blooming? Is there some energy in the room or outside of your space that is opening your imagination? And then come back into your seat. Or if you're walking or doing the laundry or driving, you're like me, because that's how I listen to most of my podcasts. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And if you are driving, just make a howling sound instead. That's much better.
Was good.
Okay.
Amazing. So it's important to note that Kat and I met in an authentic relating workshop, which is why we both crazy. we love authenticity. We love being our wild, crazy selves, and we put ourselves out there. And I think that's important to note. So when was that? We met like 2 years ago.
Yeah, almost 2 years. It was like August or September of 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. So.
And we both have been on a journey ever since. And we've both been moving towards embodiment and what that means for us and really bringing our full selves into our work and into our lives. So I'm really excited to have you here today so we can unpack all this great stuff.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Matt. And I'm so inspired by the simplicity of bringing your authentic self. And from our time in authentic relating, it was really about that connection between us. Mm-hmm. And so to unpack and open and imagine what embodiment is, it's so different for each of us. And that's why I'd like to this interaction with you and I for for you to share, and then for those listening to just go, well, what is it for me? You know, you want to hear from us, but I also want you to be engaged, a part of this conversation, interacting with us. So it could mean that you have a pen and paper nearby, or you're pausing this conversation, even if you're driving, and you're going to record yourself and say, oh, this is my insight. Because I want to know what the individuals listening and you and I, what we're getting out, what's happening in this moment for us.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love that. I love that. Well, why don't you start maybe by telling us a bit about your, what's your story of origin? What did you, what would be most important for the listener and viewer to know about you?
Yeah. I mean, the most important thing about coming to this work around embodying a wild spirit for me was knowing that I was numbed and repressed, you know, when I was younger and wounded. And I grew up in a way where I was a cookie cutter, you know, household in the suburbs, and did the straight, narrow path, like went to school, and it was all a box. It was all like lined up for me, like what I could go do with my life and my career. And I didn't really listen internally to what my life could offer me. And so as other people were telling me what to do, and I was reflecting on this recently, I would consistently call people that were closest to me at the time, my mother and my sister, and say, well, what do I do here? What do I do here? Or what do I say here? Or what is this about here? And so instead of taking that question in, I took that question out. And so the shift happened when I stopped drinking, stopped smoking, stopped doing drugs when I was 26. And at that sober point in my life, it was sobering for many reasons, not just physically. It was a sober point for me emotionally. I hit some really deep levels of depression and loneliness. And I remember I had this massive hangover. It was like I had a tequila bender, and I was joking around with my sister at her condo, and I'm sitting there like being all wild. And I, you know, I'm already wild as a drunk. You can imagine me, right? Just like, I'm the one who's like, get him another one. You know, I'm like that person. So, and now I've been sober. I'm 39, right? So I've been sober 13 years, and, you know, I'm sitting in her, I was sitting in her condo at the time, and, you know, grace to all people that do like to partake a little. I'm totally okay with your jam, whatever helps you jam out. But, you know, at that time, that was my jam. And I was telling my sister, you know, I'm just like feeling, you know, she could tell the emptiness underneath it. And she said, you know, I'm going to this meditation group called Dharma Punks. It was an incarcerated individual who started these groups, Noah Levine.
His father, that book.
You read it. And a while back, before, you know, some things that happened in that community, there was quite a few communities all over the country. And so I went with her, and I, that first night, I volunteered to help with a Buddhist nun who lived just south of us, like an hour. And I don't know what got, like, came over me. I like kept going every week. It was Friday nights, and it was like, instead of drinking, I would go there. And yeah, and partly because in that tradition, you, if you're drinking around a Buddhist nun, like you can't be involved. So that was a part of it, but it was also a commitment to myself to try something different. And so I'll say it was a very lonely path in the beginning. So, you know, the reality, the way one of my teachers, Vinny Ferraro, puts it, it's like plunging a toilet. You're like, you're finally coming into awareness of your being and what's happening. And it's like, you're getting all this stuff up before it's actually come up and you're able to flush it. You're actually becoming aware of all the shit that you've masked over with the substances. Whether it's sugar or caffeine or working or any kind of substance that we can be addicted to. So not just alcohol and drugs, but yeah, so that was the start of that journey. And then I started to teach yoga and meditation, and I was still kind of split. I was still a two-headed being where I would go to my working job and I would do my spiritual stuff, and they wouldn't be combined. And then the deeper I got, you know, 5 years into meditating, it was like, man, these really need to be one person. I can't keep doing this. Like, I put on a mask here and then I put on a mask there.
Yeah.
And so I started being myself in all places. And it's not necessarily received well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that journey.
And so it kept me from getting promoted at times. It kept me from having the relationships maybe that I wanted. And yeah, and it's just, it's a lot of internal effort and steadiness and consistency with being open to, you know, what's needed right now for myself. And for me to be connected and embodied meant that I needed to, I was listening to this, you know, very empowering woman, Priya Parker, and she came out with a book on gathering last year, right around when we were coming out of the pandemic more and like starting to gather. And, you know, she came out with her book right when we went into isolation. So it was pretty awkward for her. But what I appreciate about her in this role of embodiment is that if we get to the deepest layers of what we need in relationship and why we gather, why we're around each other, why we're connected at all, why we're a family, why we come together, whether that's, you know, celebrating a birth, a death, a, you know, marriage, that connection point, that embodiment point, if we can listen really deeply to others and why they want to be in our life and why we want to be there for ourselves, and we listen deeply enough that it changes us. And this wisdom came from her mentor from when she was in college. And I've taken that wisdom for the last 8 months since I heard that interview, and I'm still here. And it came up again today. I was re-listening. That if there's one thing to take away from this conversation, to check in with yourself right now, how am I listening to myself? And how am I listening to the relationships in my life, those people in my life, so that it changes me, so that it changes me.
Yeah.
The other part of embodiment from my origin story, I wanted to share from Prentice Hemphill, and he is part of the Embodiment Institute. And, you know, it was a challenging week last week for me because my longtime teacher, who was a monastic, we got into a racial kind of discussion, and I had my feet kind of on the fire, like maybe I'd made a mistake in this community, and we're getting a group gathering and trying to do like regular meetings, this new community. And I was really reflecting on the intersection of embodiment with race a lot this week, this week and last week, and not in like a pretty way, like it was messy.
It always is, right?
So, I mean, we're on a call just over a week ago. It was like last week. And, you know, this is a vulnerable place for me. So I invite you to like check in with your heart here. And, you know, if you have some criticism for me, just like hold it a little softly if you can. And basically, I, you know, volunteered to support this group. And we're going to do a little day long, like, you know, 6 hours with the group. And, you know, there's five of us. And the person, my lead teacher, says, well, you know, I really want Black and brown bodies in this group to be represented, that they can step up and offer. And this comes from East Bay Meditation Center up near Oakland, San Francisco area. And they have these really great policies around stepping up and stepping out around race. And so she was using that example and using me and putting my feet to the fire, like, I really need you to kind of step down so they can step up. And for me, I had some other childhood trauma patterns coming in at the same time. And, you know, I was a middle child growing up. So that repressed nature that I mentioned is just something that was so familiar for me. So Prentice Hemphill is an amazing author and embodiment teacher and leader, just like the East Bay Meditation Center. And when we think about embodiment and these difficult issues around race, gender, sexuality, sexual orientation, the way we look, the way we feel, the traumas we're coming with, just the difference in language, if our first language isn't the same language as us, like these differences, if we can stop long enough to listen, to embody that connection with someone, And so for me around embodiment and race this week, it was like, I had to stand down. I had to feel all my emotion for myself. I had to release a lot of rage personally and then come back and be open to learning and being open to listen,
mm-hmm.
being open to listen.
Mm.
So it was a difficult week. You know, whenever you're just like on stage in front of a group and there's something different and it's all different people and you don't know what to expect. And then it's something that you could have done better. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's messy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, now here we are. And, you know, I'm in a place with you, excited to be here with you, seeing your plant, seeing the mm-hmm. plants around me, seeing the spirit here in this space, knowing that there's more than the challenges, you know, of embodiment and what mm-hmm. that feels like and looks like. So.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that. I just want to say, I honor your authenticity. I honor your truth, your radical honesty, your vulnerability, all the parts of you. And, yeah, what I really admire about you is that you have an ability to be able to be an expansive thinker, which is essentially holding to maybe contrasting states of being, feelings, thoughts, and be able to acknowledge both of them. And I think that's a really, it shows your level of maturity. So I do appreciate that about you. And I'm curious to go back a little bit to the authentic relating. What drew you to go to that course? What was your motivation?
Yeah. So as part of my work with the Buddhist nuns in my 20s, one of them decided to partner with an authentic relating circling trainer, Jess Nickel.
Okay.
Who worked out of the Integral Center in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
And she was a very advanced trainer at the time, and they did a weaving of facilitation for community Dharma leaders. And so the topics were community, Dharma, leadership, and character.
Mm.
And over the course of 3 years, there was like, you know, 3 month modules of facilitation where Jess and, you know, Amma, my Buddhist nun teacher at the time, where they would co-lead, and then they invited us to lead. And so I, you know, I did quite a bit of circling with Integral Center and did some of their trainings. And then I know Jason from some of those trainings, Jason Diggs, who started Authentic Relating training.
Yeah.
That national organization that hooked us up.
Yeah.
And so it was funny when I actually talked to one of the leads, she was like, she's very heavily involved in all the training. I think her name, I can't think of her name. It starts with an N. I think it's Natalie. Oh, she's a beautiful being. I don't know. That's such a shame. I can't remember her name, but I remember being on the phone with her, telling her my background. And she said, you know, you don't need to do level one. And I was like, you know what? I really do.
Mm.
And it's similar to what I'm doing right now with my running, where like I've ran quite a few half marathons and 5Ks since I was 14. I've ran, and I'm doing a training as if I've never ran before right now. And I like coming back to the beginning and learning.
Yeah. So much to be learned in each experience. Doesn't matter if you've taken it before or not, you're vibrating at a different place. Your mind is more open.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had signed up for like some leadership thing with Authentic Relating. And then I signed up for that because I was like, I have to do this before I do that other leadership thing. It would be such a disservice to the stepping back in and being with individuals and honoring that connection and really just come with a beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did. We were able to meet.
Yay. I know. I met you and Katie and we're very much connected now.
Yeah. Yeah. You were the two that I stayed in contact with out of that course. I don't talk to anybody else, but I knew from the moment I came into that room, I could just feel that you two were going to be my people. I'm like, these are my tribe mates. I can feel it.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
So should we go into embodiment? Because I know that there might be some listeners and viewers that are not sure what that means. And I feel like we're going to be talking a lot about that. So let's create a parameter around what this means. What does it mean to you to be embodied?
Yeah. So I'd like everyone, you know, how we stood up at the beginning here or howled or whatever you did with your expression of yourself. I'd like you to just put your hand on your lap and then put your other hand. If you have a steering wheel in your hand, please do not take your hand off your steering wheel. keep that one hand in your lap. If you have the extra hand and you're not doing anything else, put the other hand on your heart and close your eyes and take a full breath out. And ask yourself, what does my heart need right now? So if you're driving, eyes are open, hands on the wheel. And just ask yourself, what does my heart need right now? It could be a color. It could be a feeling. It could be an experience. It could be a word. It could be a person. It could be a symbol. It could be an image or a place in nature. And once you know what that thing is, simply open your eyes and you can bring it back to the space. And I'll start with mine. And then if you want to do yours, Matt. So mine is this beautiful geode. I just wanted to hold it in my hands, the texture of it. It's like, it's an amethyst geode. Mm-hmm. And for me, I love texture and like opening up my energetic field and aura to texture, especially this kind of rough rock texture, where if you did yoga on a rock, you're so close to hurting yourself that you have to be gentle. You do not have a choice or you're going to scrape something on your body. So I like that experience of embodiment. And what was yours?
Mine, the first word that came through was warmth. And then I was like, well, that's too general. I'm like, what am I craving? What am I wanting? Is that's warm. And I thought of another body and me having physical contact with another body and feeling the warmth of that body and like feeling the warmth of their breath breathing on me. And it was just like this real intimate connection is what my heart is wanting right now.
Yeah. And as we walk into that experience on this, you know, whenever you're listening to this, and as Matt and I are doing that here, we're listening to how we can embody what we value, what's important to us. And so this is a taste or a flavor of embodiment to align your perception and your understanding of this sensation in the body with what you value right now. So there's a congruence. There's a congruence of what the body, something around the physical being, the emotional being, is wanting with the value, something that has a little bit deeper eminence of your essence. And so for me, that comes from the heart or the soul. For other teachers, it can come from just, you know, your values. If you did your values earlier in the year, it can come from, you know, just simply needing a break. Like some of us embody fatigue because we're doing a lot. We're being pulled in multiple directions. Some of us embody deep emotions, anger, frustration. Even if we're denying them, repressing them, feeling guilty about them, they're still existing in our embodiment. And sometimes this embodiment can be something we don't necessarily want to embody. It's incongruent with the values. It's disembodied for a big piece of us. But if we can come back to an awareness of, like I talked about, plunging the toilet, awareness of what the thing is, then we no longer have to embody the thing we don't want. We can come out of the disembodied state simply by coming into a little bit of embodiment with it, acknowledging that the shit's coming up, and then it can flush down. So if I acknowledge that my body's warm, I'm experiencing Matt, and I'm loving that he wants physical intimacy, and I'm appreciating the hardness on my skin. You know, I can interweave the embodiment of my own felt sense and Matt's just by sharing how we are embodied here together. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I want to stab at it. I'm learning what embodiment is. I'm a student to embodiment still, because, and I think I always will be, I'm very cerebral. I was born into this life. I'm an air sign. I'm very cerebral. I spend a lot of my time in my thoughts, which is really beautiful. I create from that place, in my writing, in my speech, and these sorts of things, but I'm now learning how to integrate. And I think embodiment for me is this integration between the mind, the body, and the soul, and it's allowing them all to work in harmony together. That's how I experience embodiment. And for me, embodiment, because I am so cerebral, embodiment to me means more so connecting into the body and finding my authenticity, my essence. I love that you use that word, because I love the essence energy of who I am is found in my body, and it's expressed in the way that I move my hands when I talk. And this is all my embodiment of the experiences that I'm having. And I think for a lot of people, they probably relate to being very cerebral, because I think we're conditioned in this culture to be very much governed by our mind and by our thoughts. And we create identity of who we are based off of our thoughts and the narrator in our minds, which I call the ego. And that pulls us away from embodiment if we're solely interacting with life and ourselves through that model. But when we bring that downward and we bring our focus into our body and everything gets to meet in this central part of the body, like the heart, that's embodiment for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even when you're talking and I'm listening and I'm feeling what you're saying, and I'm like noticing what's going on in my body and the different visceral experiences that I'm having, that is embodiment to me, right? So it's like, I can deeply connect with people through my body because I'm able to feel, I'm able to listen, actually listening with the body. That's embodiment, right? Like, so all of these beautiful experiences, and I get really highlighted through my like embodiment gets really highlighted through listening for me, and like connecting to my body and being with, because I can feel people, right? And I think embodiment for me as an empath, that's one of the things, is I'm very in tune with other people. So I can feel other people's embodiment, whether they are in tune with that or not, right? Through their emotions that are in their body, I can feel that, which is really cool. So yeah, those are all kind of little things around embodiment for me.
Yeah. And I'm hearing, and I'm wondering if this is something for you, or if for me, it's a layer, because in that group that I told you about, Community Dharma Leadership Character, mm-hmm. we're asking ourselves this question when we meet in May, how do we embody those qualities? And the question is, how do we trust awakening the body? So that the body is able to share with us in its own wild and, you know, free and wacky and sick and ill and tired and old ways.
Yeah.
The body is nature mm-hmm. itself. Yeah. Connected in divine light, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I love that question, how can we awaken the body? Because I think, you know, a lot of the work that I do is teaching people how their body got to sleep in the first place, right? We're born into this life, and our body's awake. We are embodied. We are pure embodiment. And we somehow along the way, we get conditioned to not be embodied. And it's almost like we sever our connection to our body, and we live in our minds, which I, you know, clinically or from psychology, that would be dissociation, right? We dissociate from our body. And I, you know, easy answers to that question would be trauma. Trauma is one of the greatest ways of how we get disconnected from our body. But maybe in this podcast, because like a lot of my podcasts, I'm talking about how it's asleep, how the body's asleep. I'd love to actually unpack with you how to awaken that. How do we actually awaken the body and start connecting to it?
Yeah. And that word that I used there was, how do we trust?
Trust. Exactly. That's a big part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we'll talk about the three C's of connection. That's definitely a way. Okay. And then the other way is to go deeply with patience and gentleness. That's my experience. I'm curious about yours, but mm-hmm. that's the one that has allowed embodiment for me, and that integration you described that I very much resonate and felt in my body.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that word trust, patience, and gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'd love to talk about wild spirit around this, because the imagination. So I invite everyone who's here listening, including us, to just turn your head just to the right and look around and just look at something in a different way than you've looked at it before. You haven't looked at it recently. And you're like, what's back there? Free from association. You're just like, okay, what's there? And then totally exhale that breath, let it go and come back. Okay, so you've shaken up your mind a little bit. And so you can do this with your hands. You can do this with the position of your body. You can open anything at any time. You can go in another direction. You can go up or go down. And so what you're doing is you're just taking the status quo of the mind's natural patterns and you're saying stop. Mm-hmm. And so when we open the wild spirit here, what we're doing is something that's more regenerative, something that's more creative, something that mimics and replicates what a wild animal would do in nature. They wouldn't listen to what they're being told and just do it. Mm-hmm. They would do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And so you can think about, I think about the raccoons often outside my house because they're always there, or the foxes. And they rest when they look. They're not in a hurry. They have nothing to get done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's think about this in three ways. So, and this is some of the evidence-based piece of the wild.
Yeah.
Because in the last 2 years, because of the pandemic and because people are getting more serious with research here, there's been studies that say we need to look at nature's objects and how they relate to each other as our ways of finding evidence for how we behave as complex human beings. Mm-hmm. And so that's a heady statement, what I just said. So just like picture a fractal or spider web. That's all you need to picture. And as you see that spider web like hanging on your porch and it has a glistening rainbow, that's what I'm talking about. That you have the sky and the little bit of humidity and a silvery white, you know, spider and the spider itself, they're all connected and you can't experience that without their connections. Mm. And so your spirit, we cannot experience without the connections. We can't. Mm-hmm. So if you're not connected to your environment, the people in your life, people through the screen, the things in your body, the things in your experience, the ancient things that got you here, if you're not connected, then you can't connect embodiment to your spirit. You mm-hmm. can't understand what's wild, what's open, what's available, what's your potential.
Yeah.
So wild spirit. It's funny you use the word spirit instead of soul because I use soul a lot. Spirit to me feels a little more effervescent.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when we first had the conversation with Leslie on the phone, you used the word spirit.
Oh, I did.
I wrote it down exactly as you said it. So, and when I typed it today in the graphic, something was like, yeah, I like this. So it was meant, it was meant to be that word.
It is. Yeah. And for me, I'm curious what others think, because it's like other like words like grace and soul. It's just like, our definition is all very unique. So
Think
in your mind right now, as you've looked around and you saw something different in your space, even if you were driving and you looked at something differently, what is it about spirit? What is spirit to you right now? And so there's expansive energies in the planets right now with Neptune and Pluto and these far-reaching planets. And so our minds are expanding, just like you said at the beginning. And because of that expansion, we can reach into unconscious realms. So the spirit can be wild in your dreams. Mm-hmm. The spirit can be wild in your sensual ways of being, in your sexual life, these experiences. It can be very wild in the deepest layers of the things you're not sharing, the secrets, the emotions, the shadows that you don't want to talk about or feel or know, mm-hmm. that you haven't integrated yet, and you're taking things personally. Mm-hmm. Which is natural. We're all doing it. So your spirit wants the color of all this depth and darkness and reaching from your dream state and from the far reaches of your shadows. Mm-hmm. And just a light touch. Just a light touch. Mm-hmm. You know, I invite others as they listen to this to think of something I'm really denying myself, but give yourself 10% of it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that dream or that person or that experience and open to it with gentleness and patience. That's your spirit too.
Yeah.
It's not just this bypass bullshit, spiritual materialism.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Desires, I think, plays a big part in that too. Like, a lot of us shame our desires. We shame what we want and what we need, and we feel not worthy of it, or we feel like we're weird for wanting it. And we're repressing that. And that's our soul. That's our spirit coming through, telling us that this is going to make me sing. This is going to light me up and bring me joy. So
that's right.
I want to share something with you, because when you were talking, I was noticing, usually when I'm in these podcasts, like there always is a part of me that has to stay up here and like be listening to what they're saying. So I got to prepare for the next question, and I have to be kind of on a little bit. And I want to just really share with you that how I'm experiencing this connection is that I feel like I have so much space to just be. Like I got lost in listening to you, and I was fully present with you, and it was so beautiful. And I think that's a testament to obviously the work I've done, but it's a testament to the work you've done, because your energy is expansive, and it's giving me space to just be, right? I don't feel pressure from you. Right. So it's just this really beautiful dance. And I really want to offer a lot of appreciation for that, because it's just nice to be able to not have to be on, like up here in my mind, and I can just be down in my heart and be present. Because at the end of our share, I feel space that we have a comfort where we can just let the moment arrive to us, instead of us trying to grab for the next thing because there's some sort of discomfort with silence or whatever it is, whatever the hangups are that make us feel like we don't have space, you know? And so I just wanted to bring voice to that, because it's a really beautiful experience, and it allows me to settle into my wild spirit and my authenticity and just get to be who I am without feeling like I have pressure to like be something different or say the right thing or ask the right question. I just get to just be. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you're saying that, I'm feeling this pulsing in my belly to my heart, and it's just kind of, it's tuning and warming and opening. And that pulse for me is just, it's very enlivening. It just feels like, oh, I'm getting so much energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I love hearing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. I wanted to share about awakening the body too, because I have a couple things from my own experience. I think there's two things that have really helped me awaken my body and become embodied, I guess is what we're talking about. The first one was like connecting to my senses, to my actual body, right? Like, here's my hands, here's my head. Like, I connected to my body, and I started with my extremities actually, because there's a lot of sensory receptors there. But then I started moving towards like my taste and being mindful of what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. And that was almost like the first step. It was the easy access point to kind of get into this work. But I think for me, the biggest thing was what you said, is to slow down, notice, you know, like, and be like the fox and be like the raccoon, where it's like, they're not worried about what they have to do tomorrow, right? They're not thinking about their to-do list. They're not in busyness, which in my opinion is a trauma response for a lot of people. We use busyness to keep ourselves from having to feel, from having to be with ourselves. And so when you talked about the fox, I giggled, because I was like, that's really how I see embodiment. They're just in the moment, and they're letting that moment come, because they're slowed down enough that they're not preoccupied. And, you know, I wrote in my book, you know, the two things of embodiment, being the space, this embodiment is mastering the mind and befriending the body. Well, we have to slow down enough to be able to master the mind, because the mind is going at a zillion miles an hour and the body is just really slow, right? If we're used to going so fast, it feels very uncomfortable and very understimulating when we start connecting with our body, because it doesn't feel like it's enough. And that not enoughness is very problematic in our culture. I think it feeds into the I don't feel like I'm enough, but it's also this isn't enough. The body to which I have isn't enough. I need more, right? Because that's the mind. That's the mind constantly pursuing and anticipating. And so when we can kind of pull back from that, slow down, connect to our senses, this is the portal to embodiment, in my opinion.
Mm, portal. I love that word. And as you're talking, I'm just picturing the fox and going, okay, we need to take that not enough hunger and take it into an adventure. So you're looking around And you're actually creating and bringing a freshness, a zinginess to your mental perception so that it does get that fed, that can go rampant and wild and do the things it needs to do as a mind.
Yeah.
So it can be an adventure of that experience so that it doesn't have any limits. And then, as you're saying, like that subtlety then becomes as engaging or more, and you're just like, whoa, that body's got a lot of cosmos in it. Like, whoa. Yeah. And then it's more of a high than any substance or any orgasm.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. And that's Tantra, right? Tantra in a nutshell is embodied sexuality. It's fully connecting to the mind, the body, and the heart in sex, and being so connected to the energy moving, right? And it's powerful. It's so powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tantra connects a lot to my Buddhist practice, Vajrayana, and also to other practices like all over the world, different practices. So these are, you know, if you're not into Tantra, it's like, well, actually you might be, and you don't even know it because it's connected to other cultures that you might be studying or practicing with. So,
yeah.
So just being open, expanding our ways of acknowledging or being with or supporting ourselves in this connection to what we're sharing. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Where do we want to go next? Do we want to talk about the three C's, or do we want to talk about bringing soul and spirit into work and life?
We'll do it with the three C's. I'll loop it in.
Yeah, perfect. So, yeah, I'm curious. I love this. The three C's of connection. It's like right up my alley. So, dish it, sister.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's pretty basic. Curiosity.
Okay.
Care. And create. And so this came out of a lot of research and embodiment practice and time and community and time in authentic relating circles. And I want to break them all down. Okay. So curiosity, we'll start right there. Inquiry. So curiosity, I'm going to start with Buddhist practice. There's something called dependent origination. And so this is a big wheel. So if you can't see me, I'm putting my hands up high above my forehead, and that's on purpose. And at the top of that wheel, you go around the whole circle and it comes back to itself. This is the wheel of suffering. So you might have heard of the wheel of Dharma or the wheel of suffering. So you're consistently creating more suffering for yourself if you're ignorant and don't understand or unconscious or blindly or numbing or bypassing yourself or sleeping, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
And so dependent origination teaches us that if you can stop the chain of how things depend on each other to create more hunger or craving or wanting something, it's not enough. It's not, you know, and then you want more of it, and then you don't feel good about the decision you made, and then you feel this. And so all those things that originated from each other, they start with ignorance. And the thing that stops them is curiosity. Mm. So you don't even go through the chain.
Mm.
You don't have to go through any of the suffering. Mm. And so the wheel of Dharma is then moving in your life, or the wheel of purpose or truth or wisdom that's naturally arising. It's not something that you're efforting towards. There's no effort here.
Yeah.
This is just a practice of slowing down. And then there's a little bit of effort when you slow down. And if you just do that one small piece of effort, you have 90% of the effort of the suffering's gone. So it's worth it to slow down, do less, want less, create less, be less for a moment, and then ask and be more humble. And that inquiry process is gentle and patient. And it's like, it doesn't feel that strong at first, but then once your life starts to change and you're starting to bring and attract in the energies and the places and the people you want, and the flow of energy is flowing towards you and your attitude allows for that, that dependent origination cycle never occurs. That you're an awakened being and you're actually using your awakening. You're not obsessed with it anymore. So this inquiry, this curiosity is that first place of connection, because it pauses you from being so self-absorbed, being so much in your suffering. You don't even have to talk about it anymore. You're just in the waves of experience and you're watching them flow around you.
I like that.
So that's curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is create. So I'd like you to look out your window. If you don't have a window, I'd like you to find one. So if you're doing laundry, like go look out a window. And when you look out the window, look to your horizon and see, is there clouds? What time of day is it? Where's the sun at? And at this horizon, you can't see how far it goes. You might have buildings in the way or trees or things. And just picture how far out the horizon goes. Where does it go? Can you see past and imagine where it goes into infinity, basically? You can't see past that horizon. So in this next part of care, we have horizons of care where we can look out into infinity in these places. And it starts with ourselves, goes to our family, then goes to our community, like where we live. And then it goes to the nation. And then it goes to all of humanity and then to all of life. And then to the cosmos. And so if our horizon is here in our own heart, it's beautiful. But what's the horizon of care in the moment that can expand our understanding or pull us out of our suffering? So sometimes we can't get to curiosity. We don't know what to do. And we don't know how to connect to others. We don't know how to reach out, or we don't know what's needed in this situation because they've really pissed us off, or like, how could this happen to us? How could this person die, or this, you know, this experience happen? And in those cases, this level of care can come to bringing it to a new horizon. And what this does is it takes our biology, our sociology, and the nature of our being and intersects the way that we've expanded into this life. And so just by changing your perspective as an infinite realm and saying, okay, if my family had all of the potential I ever wanted in an infinite space, what can I bring to it? What can I care for here? So it's a horizon where I bring care. I'm not saying love yet, because you're barely there. You know, you're bringing curiosity. You're bringing some care. And you're recognizing the flame of connection. Because the deeper the awakening of the embodiment in your body and your spirit, knowing what it feels like to be in your intuition, to trust it and follow it all the time. These qualities of connection happen when you're noticing how you're interrelated, how you're going to bring something, not what you're going to get back. Again, it comes out of the self-obsession, just like with curiosity, it comes into what am I capable of? What can I care for here? And letting that be expansive beyond understanding, beyond the mind's ability. Mm-hmm. That's the key. If you have to use the body, if you have to use the felt sense, you're on the right track. If you're trying to figure it out, it's too much effort. It's like a resting into something that's bigger and scarier and more vast than I ever knew. We ever knew. Okay, ready for the last one? Mm-hmm. Okay, last one is create. So regeneration is a big part of what I work with my clients with, because I work a lot in the corporate culture and I have a lot of clients that work in healthcare, specifically medical professionals. And we focus a lot on evidence-based practice, you know. Mm-hmm. And I work in the practice of architecture itself and healthcare. And so creating for me is really near and dear to my heart. And what it means in this context of connection is that you're actually building something together and you're not using your energy to destroy. And if you are using it to destroy, you pause yourself and you don't engage. So around connection, this means that you trust yourself enough to tend to your own needs and not dispose of all your emotions on someone else. And if you have a strong enough relationship, you know, you have more bandwidth with each other, but you're taking care and you're taking curiosity and now you're bringing them into how you create. How you create regeneration is you bring gratitude and appreciation to relationships. You bring your contemplative or meditation practices, into your daily life or into a consistent aspect of your life so that you're more steady and grounded and calm so that you can create something that is meaningful and real to you, authentic to you. I love that that's what your podcast is all about, mm-hmm. that it's something from your essence, from your embodied wild spirit, so that this creation is also something connected to who we are. We're a part of all beings. We're a part of the cosmos, a part of nature. So when we create, we are actually changing the way that we live, the way we work, the way we relate to each other, that we're actually shifting the pattern. Mm. We're saying we know this is BS, the way we've been talking about race at work, or we know we can no longer interact around this system or process because it's broken and no one has been able to speak up and say anything, but now it's time. Mm-hmm. That's the create part. Is people actually are connecting the gears back into motion that are making this a living system that's connected. So often I'll speak to my clients about how the corporate culture has kind of crushed our souls. Mm-hmm. And many of us have probably experienced that. And it acts like a machine where we feel we're replaceable. We're a number. They don't tell us. They don't care if we don't get vacation pay or PTO pay for COVID or, you know, these things that we just need to take a break. And so these kind of rigid ways of working are inherited from the Industrial Revolution and from many ways that animalistic culture and animal husbandry has developed in the world. So if we come back to a living system like we're talking about, then we can start to create. As long as we just want something out of another person or we're using them in a certain way in a relationship, we're not going to actually build anything. We're not going to create anything. Mm. We're going to be serving ourselves and wanting something for ourselves, and that will dry up. Mm. But there's enough for all of us if we are supporting that being built or supporting it being created. So those are the three: curiosity, care, and create. Mm. And we've done a lot of that here. So I hope people have noticed that we've built connection with everyone listening, and Matt and I have a very deep connection that we continue.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, we're embodying our wild spirit. I think for me, I love all three of them, but I feel like I'm at a place now where creation is just so important and co-creation is so important. And creating is actually very vulnerable. It's a very vulnerable thing to do, and it requires us to be very authentic because we're bringing our creation, we're bringing ourselves forward. And I think embodying our wild spirit allows us to connect to the part of us that is inspired to create. And I personally don't think there's a more beautiful process than co-creation. Right? Like of any sort, it could be co-creating love, a relationship, a project, a business, where two people are embodied and really bringing their wild spirit together and letting energy, letting the dance of magic happen. And it's just like, oh, it's so juicy and love. I like, this is why I do the work that I do. I just love it. I love it so much.
Ooh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing you light up and it makes me so happy. I'm just like, oh. Yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else percolating, or are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Feeling complete?
Yeah.
Okay. You have some meditations on, well, first website. Of all, your website is www.opensoul.love. What an amazing website.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And you're on Insight Timer and you have some free meditations on there. Can you tell us a bit about what you got going on there?
Sure, be happy to. So I lead some Qigong and some earth grounding meditations based on the Vajrayana Tibetan Buddhist practices that we were talking about when we talked about the Tantra. Mm-hmm. And the other meditations are around embodying the shadow, so they can be kind of controversial. Some people really don't like that practice. And if you haven't integrated a lot of shadow work, I wouldn't recommend it, but I would recommend the other ones. There's a nice one for sleep. And, you know, I invite you into those practices with you know, just a lot of sweetness or softness. You can put them on in the tub, or you can be driving. Like for me, meditation is about taking a moment to be with yourself and be mindful. It's not about sitting on a cushion and doing it just the way someone tells you to do it. So I invite you to pick them up wherever you are. Mm-hmm. And it's also, it's a free app. So that's what I love about it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I use it as well for Yoga Nidra, but I'm going to check your stuff out. So just search Kat Renee Now. That's where, how, if you have that Insight Timer, you can find her there, but I'll also include it in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
And awesome. You have a Soul at Work program. Can you just give us a little bit of information about that?
Yeah. So most of my Soul at Work program right now, I'm doing like inspirational, motivational speaking with that. And I do small group trainings. And then I do have a one-on-one coaching program that you'll see the link to here. Yeah. So all that information is on my website. You know, I'm happy to connect, and just, I love meeting people. So if you don't even want any of those things, but you want to hang out, like, just let's hang out.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I love about you. It's just so real, and you're so easy to be around and to talk to. So you hold really beautiful space. Like I would say probably better than anybody I know. Like it's that, that's how good you are at holding space. So.
Oh my gosh. You are so sweet. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Take that into the heart.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
It's one of your greatest skills, I think, holding space. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I want to, thank you for coming on today and sharing all your wisdom and letting us into your world. I really appreciate that. I love your energy. Yeah, you perked up my audience today and then stimulated them and gave them a bunch of wisdom. So yeah, it's great. I feel good. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. And I just feel so open and loving and supported in this energy. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yay.
And to the listener, thank you for tuning into another episode, episode 37. And if you like this episode, please leave us a review and subscribe and do all the things, you know what to do. And if you want to ask either myself or Kat any questions, feel free to drop them in the comments on YouTube and we will gladly get back to you. Yeah. All right. Take care, Kat.
Love you.
Love you too.
All right. Bye, everybody. Let's connect soon.
We will.
Okay. Much love.
Much love.
Bye.